Welcome to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9 FM. During November, as part of our National Novel Writing Month Challenge, we did a broad exploration of themes and practices to help you get out of the gate running with your writing. Through December, I'd like to begin delving a little deeper into these creative elements. So this week, we're going to explore creating a sense of place. Writing convincingly about place is an essential skill for writers in any genre, whether it's fiction, poetry, or creative nonfiction. A common issue that a lot of, especially emerging writers, can have is being too vague or generic in your description or place, or including location as an afterthought. And that can lead to what some people call quote unquote talking heads in an empty white room. Basically, characters who might have compelling actions and interactions with each other, but where it feels like it's happening in a void. And when the reader can't tell where a scene is happening, you lose narrative texture and some emotional truth. It's harder for them to imagine that what is happening is real. Writing about place can be tricky. It's a balance of figuring out how to invoke the environment in which your character's experiences are unfolding, or, you know, if you're writing memoir in which your experiences are unfolding. So how much detail is enough, and what kind of detail matters? How do you give place meaning so that it becomes an integral part of the narrative rather than just a decorative backdrop? And when I talk about place in writing, it can take many forms. It can be a huge scale, like a city or a nation or a world, or it can be intimate. Picture something like a grandmother's kitchen. Obviously, there is the room itself, but there's also what the room evokes. So it's more than just the table and chairs and stove and sink. It's the colors, the smells, you know, something baking. Who's there? Who has been there over the years? How old is this house? And what memories is it evoking? When you start thinking that way, you realize what a significance place has in helping to increase the three-dimensional nature of your story. And yeah, regardless of scale, place carries narrative weight and it deserves thoughtful craft. So to continue this conversation, I'm going to start offering some strategies and then we'll get into some writing prompts for place. Let place develop character. The places you choose, whether real, invented, or somewhere in between, will never be experienced the same way by two different characters. And this is fine. This is great. This adds dimensionality. Use this to your advantage. Filter place through your character's point of view so that descriptions reveal not only the environment, but also the people moving through it. Remember that place is subjective. A hospital room after a clinical emergency is going to be experienced differently by a grieving widow, a young doctor who lost their first patient, and a cleaner preparing the space for someone new. A room at dawn looks and feels different to someone hopeful than it does to someone grieving. Weather, time of day, mood, and memory all color perception, as does the space itself. Character's background influences what they notice as well. A soldier sees different threats or patterns than a primary school teacher. Use these contrasts to reveal backstory and deepen characterization. Engage the senses. Readers understand a place most deeply when they can feel it. This means tapping into those five senses and moving beyond just what you can see. Invite your reader to smell the jasmine in the garden or the reek of garbage during a garbage strike, to hear the croaking of frogs if you're in the country, or the drone of traffic for someone who's walking through a busy downtown. Evoke tastes. You know, maybe someone, they've just eaten a chili that they can't handle and it's the sting of the spice in their nose and on their tongue. Or if you're trekking on a hot day, that humidity sticking to your skin. Use small details like a front door opening, a clock ticking, a radiator hissing to build that depth without overwhelming your story with boring details. Using place as anchor can be another great one. Certain locations like meeting spots, recurring rooms, and familiar landmarks in your story create narrative stability. When a scene returns repeatedly to, say, a favorite cafe, a playground, or a hotel lobby, the reader gradually forms an intimate mental map and it becomes an anchored space. Sometimes it's helpful to personify the setting, so imagine the place as its own character. Think about things like like, if your setting had intentions, moods, or desires, what would they be? Humanizing a place can reveal its deeper significance. Going somewhat in hand with that is recognizing that places can be emotional triggers. Places hold emotional charge. They can be soothing, but they can also be frightening. They can disorient a character or transform them. So ask yourself, does this character feel safe in this space, alienated? What memories or associations does this place ignite? And how does that emotional response shape the character's behavior? You can also observe the locals, as they say. As you're moving through a space, who else is in that space? What are they eating? What are they talking about? Where do they gather? If you're trying to remember or explore a real space, but you can't physically get to it, whether it's a place you've been before or somewhere you're trying to learn more about, tools like Google Maps Street View can be really helpful. Zoom in on different neighborhoods, see what kind of businesses are there, what kind of houses, their structure, what are they made of, and also what is the condition of the place? Do the roads look like they're in good repair? Who's walking through that space? If you aren't ready to write a full narrative description, you can absolutely just start with a list, jotting down the things that jump out to you. Cracked sidewalks, peeling paint, the color of a door, the texture of the siding, what the sky looks like. Can you see the stars? Is it smoggy? And as a final little hint or a final little tip, try to avoid vague cliche descriptors. If you want help on what to avoid, just Google travel writing cliches. You'll get lots of ideas. But things like quaint or off the beaten path or beautiful really aren't evoking very much. So this is where you want to show the readers what those words mean by offering concrete, precise details, that idea of show, don't tell. So now we're going to spend some time with a writing exercise. Credit goes to Alexa T. Dodd, who's an online writing instructor for this example. So I want you to spend some time thinking of a space or a place that is memorable or meaningful to you. Try to choose a space that you haven't visited recently. So, for example, a place from your childhood versus your bedroom this morning. We're going to spend the next 5 minutes describing this place as much as you possibly can using concrete sensory details. So this is describing the physical aspects of the room, but also using those other senses. And we'll come back after 5 minutes. Using that same space you were writing about a moment ago, spend the next 3 to 5 minutes writing about the emotions you associate with that space. Now that we've thought of concrete sensory details, the emotions that space evokes, I want you to think of a person that you associate with that space. It can be someone who has been in that space with you, or simply someone that that space reminds you of. We'll spend now another 5 minutes, and I want you to describe that person in detail and explain why you associate that person with the space. So that was one sort of interconnected series of writing exercises that help you attack the description of a space from different angles and see how physical description, senses, emotions, and memories come together to develop that three-dimensional sense of space. Another way of exploring and developing your creative writing muscles is something called a stepped exercise, which can help approach increasingly complicated or intimate content by degrees. And so here is something called Journey Inward. We won't have time to do all of these steps today, but it's something that you can carry with you, is spend 3 minutes writing about a public place. After you've spent 3 minutes writing about a public place, spend 4 minutes writing about a place known only to 5 or 6 people. And then finally, spend 5 minutes writing about a place known only to you. Thank you, as always, for tuning into Word Labs Out Loud. I hope you've enjoyed this exploration of place and the development of dimensionality in your writing. And be sure to tune in again next week as we delve deeper into our creative practice.